Our unison reading is Colossians 1, verses 15 through 22. You'll find this on page 200 of the New Testament of your pew Bible. It talks about our unity, our centrality in Christ, who holds all things together. Let us have a word of prayer. God, help us just to be, to receive your love and your wisdom, and to thank you and to show you our thanks by what we do. But more than anything, oh God, let your Spirit speak to us through your scriptures. In Christ our Lord. Amen. On the supremacy of Christ, let us read together. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him. Provided you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear now God's word from Luke's gospel, chapter 10, beginning with verse 38. The visit with Martha and Mary. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. The word of the Lord. Do you know the term FOMO? FOMO, F-O-M-O, FOMO. FOMO is the social media acronym for the fear of missing out. FOMO is this pervasive kind of anxiety that other people are having more fun than you, having better experiences than you, experiencing things more beneficial, perhaps they're more successful for you. FOMO is the fear that others are having fun without you being there and you're missing out on the activity. It's the anxiety they're having fun and they didn't invite you. Or that by making a decision or a commitment or accepting this invitation, you excluded yourself from the better option that they are having and you're missing out. Or it might be missing out on things that might be better for you or more fun. But FOMO is not just the sense you could be doing something more fun right now. It's an all-consuming, pervasive sense or feeling that you are missing out on things fundamentally more important, even more rewarding, that others are experiencing. FOMO, in extreme cases, causes envy, even a sense of self-doubt. I'm not as good, I'm not as worthy as they are, or a sense of inadequacy compared to others. It was identified back in the 90s, but at the growth of social media over the last 20 years, FOMO has increased, and counselors and psychologists and physicians have now diagnosed it as a malady, fear of missing out. And as Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and other channels make it instantly obvious what your friends are doing and you're not there, you know what you're missing. And if you're bored or lonely or just depressed, just pulling out your phone and checking your social media, seeing that others have been whooping it up without you makes you feel even worse sometimes. Sometimes seeing other people's posts and tweets and pictures of them at the trendiest restaurant, they're at the fancy place you want to be, they're on their dream vacation spot, and these type things, they're having the latest, greatest adventure and you're not there. They're at the most fun party and you feeling left out. You know, whereas in years past, we were blissfully ignorant of what other people were doing all day long, now this incessant barrage of texts and tweets and images and posts, people are bragging what they're doing, they're exaggerating the fun that they're having. It makes us aware of what we are missing. And sometimes it leaves us just a little peeved, sometimes a little envious. FOMO increases our pressure to do more, to post more, to show more, to impress our friends. And also, they said in extreme cases, you realize you're basing your everyday life against their highlights. And it creates a sense of what is normal. And so FOMO has led to a condition now called decision paralysis. People become so addicted to their cell phone, they can't stop checking for posts and tweets and texts lest they miss something. Or they become so overwhelmed by the options of what is offered and so driven by the fear of missing out, they can't make a decision and they won't make a commitment to an invitation or an opportunity because I might miss something more fun. It's real. Google it. FOMO, F-O-M-O. Especially in our teens and young adults, though it also applies to adults of all ages. So how do you alleviate FOMO? Some people go cold turkey. Can you imagine that? Cold turkey on their media, or they go for a set period of not checking any electronic devices. This week at the Montreat Youth Conference, they asked the youth and the adults to go on a Sabbath, no technology from supper time Wednesday to lunchtime Thursday. And so they texted all of us who have groups there and said, please honor this and don't contact or text your groups. No cell phones, no tablets, no texting, no social media. Just try to be fully present to those who are there present with you. And try to sense what God is doing here in our midst, in this place, for 24 hours. I can't wait to hear how it went. Because they're trying to help them discover, you may discover you're missing out by being glued to that little screen in front of you. When all these other things are happening around you. It's not just teens, it's the adults who needed the Sabbath too. Of course, this story of Martha and Mary is not about FOMO. Though Jesus does address something about you are distracted from the one thing needed, the one thing that will not be taken from Mary. Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him talk. And Martha is distracted by all these preparations for the meal. Now, let's be clear. It's not wrong to be Martha. We'd all be in trouble if we didn't have Martha around to make sure things get done. And when you got dinner guests, who's going to do? Who's going to fix? Who's going to get things ready? Who's going to structure? Who's going to do the committee work? Who's going to do all the other things? It has to be done. Without Marthas, the necessary work gets overlooked. It's not wrong to be an active Martha, just as it's not wrong to be a quiet, meditative Mary. Both are needed. Neither's wrong, just different. Both serve God. And God loves Martha's, and God loves Mary's. Under normal circumstances, Martha's acts would be correct. There's this code of hospitality. You've got guests at your house, you've got to provide for them. And Mary's would be wrong to be sitting idle while you've got all these guests in the house. But in this case, at least, the context is different, because the guest in the house is not your ordinary neighbor or friend come to visit. This is the Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings sitting in your house, and he's teaching and talking. He's got the word of eternal life, and so Mary gives Jesus her undivided attention, and she probably dropped her apron and towel in the kitchen and came down and sat down. She's hearing him, which Jesus desires. She's not missing the one thing that is needed. What is that one thing that will not be taken from Mary? A commentator said all sorts of things when I looked at it this week. I think the one thing that is needed is intentional intimacy with God. What I take away from this story is not that busy people are too busy, you should slow down, or that lazy people need to get busy, but rather we cannot effectively live this Christian life with all of its demands and its ethics and its challenges and its morals unless we spend time with Jesus. You sang about it, spending time in prayer. Oh, what a friend we have, and what needless things we bear when we don't spend time with him. When we make God our priority, the other things start to fall into place, and we're better prepared to love God and love our neighbor and to love ourselves. It's no accident that this passage follows the Good Samaritan last week, because the lawyer is asking, what have I got to do? What have I got to do? What have I got to do? And he's listening to Jesus, but not really listening. To show hospitality, to be attentive. Our reading from Colossians 1, 15 through 28 speaks of the centrality of Christ, for whom all things were made and in whom all things were made and who holds all things together. He is the glue that holds your life together, and you ignore him at your own peril. And Paul writes in Galatians 2, I have been crucified with Christ, so it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, helping me to live this life. That's the essence of who you are and the life that you live, and to continue to be strong in your faith and to be attentive to others, and to not lose hope in the gospel that is preached to us, Paul says. You've got to spend some time with God, developing intimacy with God, pouring out your heart to him, letting him speak to your heart and soul. Until we learn to quiet ourselves and to stop and to listen, we're going to be frazzled servants of Christ. So another new term new to me this week, I read about sunset fatigue. Lewis Grant coined the term sunset fatigue to describe what happens when we put selfish ambitions ahead of our love for God and for others, and we spend all day focused on all our activities, attentive to self, and pursuing, and we come home at the end of the day exhausted. And so the very people who need our love the most and to whom we have the greatest commitments get our leftovers. You come home exhausted, sunset fatigue, not up to tending to those around you. Martha was draining herself, rushing to get everything accomplished. If she didn't stop and enjoy Christ's presence and listen to him, then he would get her leftovers too. So I must ask, do you spend time with Jesus? Do you listen, really listen? Do you read and reflect on his scriptures? Do you take part in a small group so that we might become from spiritual seekers to dedicated followers? Do you ever go to a Bible study or a Sunday school class? Or do you connect with God in your singing or in your music? Do you sense God when you serve other people and say, God, you're here, aren't you? It's not just me. Are you his guest as well as his host? It's important to ask because there's always work to be done at the church and in the kingdom work. There's always work to be done at church, at home, at school, at play, in the yard, and the myriad groups and organizations to which we belong. There's always more to get done than we can get done and more activities in which to get involved. So I warn you, don't get so distracted by your commitments and obligations and even your duties and responsibilities and the pressures that you don't have time for Jesus. It may be in the morning, it may be at night, it may be at midday, whenever you can carve out that little time. Turn off your cell phones and your TVs. Close your computer and your calendar and go for a walk with Jesus. Or sit in your quiet place where you meditate most. Sit and just listen. Quiet yourself. Ask him, what hinders my relationship with you, Christ? What interferes with my growth? What interferes with my service to you? Anything? To what do you need to say no that you might say yes to him? What commitments do you need to decline or from what do you need to resign in order to focus your efforts on where you need to focus your efforts and pursue what Jesus needs you to do? What can you change in your ordinary everyday routine in order to give God your devotion and your attention? And if you find yourself anxious and a little troubled, a little distracted, if you have a little pang of FOMO, let those emotions point to the fact that something needs to be different. And perhaps you let go of the superficial and grab onto the eternal. Be devoted to Christ, not distracted from Christ. Because giving time to what matters of your heart and giving attention to the matters of your heart and soul and mind deepens your understanding of God's ways and increases your love of God, your awareness of God. The moment Jesus indicated to Mary he had something important to speak, she set aside everything else and sat down to listen to him. I give you permission to do that. Because to receive what Christ wants to show you is better than any busy work. And if you close your ears to him, and if you turn your heart from him, it's death to your spirit. You shut off the stream of living waters that feeds your soul and which nurtures your faith. Now, work is good, and it's necessary. But, you know, Mary is applauded just for the simple act of putting things aside for a minute to sit and listen. Pausing to hear what Jesus had to speak into her heart and to her soul. So I give you permission to stop your busyness when you need to, your frenetic lifestyle, in order just to be attentive and to listen. I recall the old poster that said, sometimes I just sits and listens, sometimes I just sits. Because your life with Christ must be more than just occasionally checking in at church. Life in Christ is day to day to day to day as you live it out with God in the midst of what you're living and living it out with the people all around you and the people in the world around you. Now realize that Mary and Martha were both good women, good disciples of Christ. Both were needed. Both were essential. They had different temperaments, different styles, not wrong, just different. The problem was at the time Martha was encumbered. She was worrying and working nonstop. And Mary was comforted for having taken a break and sit at the feet of Jesus. Martha was concerned with preparing the physical food. She had a house full of friends. But Mary was getting the spiritual food. And I like to think Jesus would say, this is a great meal, Martha. I'd been just as happy with a sandwich. Martha was working for the Lord. Mary just wanted to be near him for a minute. You're going to have to get up and go serve eventually. But if you'll spend some time at the feet of Jesus, you'll have the knowledge and the insight that you need to do things his way and be about his work. And then you can go forward and have an impact on the lives of others for the good of the kingdom, because instead of just being active, you're productive. I rushed the children. They even sensed it. Thanks be to God. Amen. God, it's all that easy, but all that hard. So would you help us then to focus with you? Thank you. Amen.